Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we love to podcast, and we're doing a podcast, and all we do is podcast.
You did that intro so normally. You said we were a wrestling podcast and everything.
Yeah. I know. I know we're a wrestling podcast. I've never forgotten that.
We're back in the groove after our vacation. Now we're hitting. We remember to do all our chores in the right order. And
yeah, totally. It's easy for me. Hey, guys, it's easy for me.
Not a problem.
How's everyone doing this week?
It's been snowing all day, and it's kind of actually getting me into the holiday mood because I didn't really have to go anywhere, so I've just been, like, looking out the window being like, and it's Christmas time.
You're so
Christmas
cozy.
Time is here. I'm kind of jealous because I just drove down to... I'm visiting Anne on my way back to the East Coast, and I drove out of Minneapolis in the middle of a snowstorm, and as I was, like, putting my junk in the car and getting snow in my boots and freezing my ass off, I was like, you know, because there were, like, 4 inches on the ground overnight, I was like, wow, I'd be so happy if I could just stay in my house drinking a little hot cocoa today, but I can't. I've got to drive through the snow for, it turned out to be upwards of 6 hours. And that was so fun for me and went really amazing. So your situation sounds pretty clutch, Leah. Nice.
Yeah. Love that feeling of being indoors in Boston in December while the snow comes down.
Wow. Let's get some podcast business out of the way up front. First of all, we have some brand new merch that we could not be more obsessed with. Would one of you like to describe our beautiful new merch?
It's our gas station uniform shirts.
So as you guys know, we own a beautiful gas station with wrestling on all of the pumps.
24/7.
Or as Sarah recently corrected me, hypothetical gas station. You bitches can't
very
run
real.
It.
She was like, don't mislead them. I'm like, God, I can't imagine that anyone is listening to us thinking they could own a gas station for real.
Yeah, we commissioned art from our friend who did our logo, actually, and she did such a good job.
She's a literal genius.
Coolest shirt. There's so many jokes on it.
Yeah, and it started as, like, a joke. Like, I think did we make some kind of joke about getting a logo on a pod and just on a whim?
I think we did, or we said, like, well, I wish we had a logo on a coffee cup or something. I don't know.
And just on a whim, she doodled... what became the front of it, and we immediately slid back into her DMs to be like, hey, could we pay you for this and more?
It all looks so cool. You can see, like, the full array of stuff at chop-tees.com. And if you buy one, you're an employee of our gas station, I think. Yeah. So you can
get free gas when you come to the gas station wearing that shirt. It's free gas, free
That's amazing. Wrestling I didn't viewing. Realize that's a promotion we were running. I don't know that we're going to be running a profit at our gas station, but
that's really never been a priority of our gas station.
Actually, I forgot that in the world where we have our gas station, we're billionaires. And that's our whole thing is we're just like, we don't give a shit if we make any money. You're right. You're right. Yeah. So you get free gas. Yeah. Free gas for life.
And Dickie actually made us a URL. So we are chopped-tees/ourpumpsforus.
Oh yeah, the first promotion on Chop-Tees. Yes. The first wrestling promotion on Chop-Tees.
Yes. Yes. So. Yes. It's great. I mean, you're gonna wanna like zoom in on the art and look at each one of the inside jokes and think, I gotta have that on my back.
Yeah.
And we got t-shirts, we got sweatshirts, we got trucker hats, we got a mug that's got so a mug. Cool.
I ordered the mug and I'm so excited about it.
Yeah,
I
can't wait to get the mug.
So go check it out. We'll remind you sometimes because we're obsessed with our gas station. So you'll hear about it again. We also have two Social Suplex holiday special advertisements. If you have not already, please go check out the annual FOH Keeping It Strong Style ONR crossover episode.
Yep. They just made the 2023 episode free. So I did pay for it last year. You should listen to it. There's a lot of chops happening in that episode, and they are very drunk. I believe they've already recorded 2024, but it's not out yet. But it will be, and it'll be on their feeds. And as soon as they release it, it'll be on ours. But it is
we'll repost it. You'll be able to get there very easily. Yeah.
All four guys get together and get very drunk and talk about the biggest idiots of the year.
I think we saw a little picture of a behind the scenes picture from this year's. Is that right? Am I making that up?
Yeah, they did post it from this
and they
year.
Looked like they were ready to have a lot of fun.
They did. Yeah. I do love how you get like some men wrestling fans together and they get drunk and they just start chopping each other, you know?
Yeah. Should we get into that? We've been on many vacations, but we've never chopped each other. Maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
All in one place.
We've never really physically hurt each other at all, I don't think.
No, that's maybe so crazy.
Maybe that'll be a fun thing for All In.
Our first chop fest. Well, you can't experience that yet, but you can experience a kind of a verbal chop fest when you listen to the Trish and Sarah Tunnel Talk holiday extravaganza coming soon to a podcast listener near you. App near you.
And she calls herself a PBS kid.
God in heaven. It was a long time ago. I don't know anything anymore. Of course I'm stupid now.
That's deep in the mind palace. You know, it's not near the windows. No.
We had the time of our lives, I would say.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
Trish and Sarah invited us over and we made a mess of their home.
Oh my God.
And I think their serious wrestling listeners will have a great time hearing what we have to say.
We really did burst through the front door like, get ready to party.
What up, idiots? We're here. But I particularly like it because this week they released a bonus episode, which Trish interviewed Andy from RevPro. And it's been like a really widely like well-received interview about wrestling, like, you know, nitty gritty. They really got into it, like well-respected. And they're going to follow that up.
Oh, I think people will respect some of the things we said.
It is so funny.
They will respect us.
When we have guests on our podcast, we're like very polite. We kind of let them set the terms. We're actually usually not that gross. But when we apparently are invited to guest somewhere else, we really didn't hold back, I don't think. No. So
we walked in, sat down on their couch, and unbuttoned our pants immediately.
Yeah. We're like, great to be here.
Love it here.
So go check that out. We had so much fun. We love them so much. And we're so grateful that they wanted to do a little fun holiday bash with us.
So fun.
Okay, that's all the podcast business. Let's talk about the wrestling. Huge week for us. We finally fished our wish on something. Toni Storm has amnesia.
Incredible.
I don't think people are
talking enough about how I called this. Like, I know our episode came out after Collision and Rampage, but like, people really weren't like, wow, you really called that.
I think the timing of the episode screwed you over a little bit because people didn't fully understand that Anne had called it on Thursday night and been like, it's time for him. Not that any of us really thought we were going to get what we wanted.
No.
It was so unfathomable. The idea that we could think something was fun and then somebody could do it on wrestling TV.
Like, I keep being shocked.
How many times have we suggested something on this pod? We never get
millions.
It.
Millions. No. Millions of times.
Every time she's back on screen doing Amnesia, it's just like, are you serious? Like, we really got it? We got Amnesia?
A shot of adrenaline straight to the veins. So she, like, re-debuted. She had her re-debut match on Rampage. She wrestled Harley Cameron and won. And I thought it was pretty fun, actually. They were fun together.
Harley Cameron's very fun.
She's really come a long way with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that Tony, like, as she was leaving the ring, she, like, did she do, like, the same thing she did after leaving her first match
at AEW? She's recreating everything she was doing in the front. Yeah. So I think that was, like, the way she left her first match. And then she gave a promo that was word for word the same promo.
Amazing. That was after she had another match on Collision versus Shaz McKenzie. And then that's when she cut the promo and was like, I'm officially All Elite.
Yeah.
And then later backstage, she interrupted a Thunder Rosa Tony Schiavone backstage segment to really excitedly introduce herself like they didn't know her. Actually, let's pause on that for a moment because it did suggest something concerning about the backstage that Thunder Rosa and Tony both just looked at her like, oh God, that can't be good. And then just went right back to the discussion
right
without being
it.
Like, should we contact somebody?
Yeah.
Like, is
just
this
get Doc Simpson over here? And it really was just like, why are you being weird? Oh, well, like, okay.
It was never fully, be sure. Both of them were like, that's not my problem. I'm going to get back to what I was doing.
That's probably because the backstage is under siege by the Death Riders. So they're like, it's unsafe to express too much concern about anybody because you could just get beaten up by mobs.
Yeah. It is also, when I was about 10, I had been, like, my mom was out doing errands or something and my dad was, like, mowing the lawn. But I was playing with my brothers and, like, hit my head, like, diving for a ball or something and, like, did get amnesia for about, like, an hour or so. But my brothers, who were younger than me, just thought it was hilarious. And the neighbor kids were over, too. So they were just, like, asking me questions and, like, laughing when I didn't know them. And my mom got home and was like, what is going on here?
Well, parenting seems really fun and chill.
Yeah, really normal.
But so then on Dynamite, Tony had a sit down with RJ City and she again was being like, I'm so excited to be here. I've never, you know, who could have known I would be All Elite? I've watched every episode. Like, and he was probing and being like, what about your history with AEW? And she was just like, well, no history except I love it. and he did do an amazing job of having a vibe of like, maybe I will contact somebody. Like, just kind of looking off camera like, gosh, this doesn't seem like she should be medically cleared.
Yeah, he was the one person who was like, I just don't think this should be happening. Everyone else was like, well, you know, fine.
People say
not my
things
circus, not my monkeys.
Yeah.
This is amazing. I'm so happy.
It's thrilling. It's just like so much fun. It's so fun to see her with this different, like very chipper demeanor again and being like, oh, I love Mariah. She's so wonderful to work with.
And it's retroactively making me like Rocker Tony, yes. Because when she did the little thing where she was like, it's Tony time, and was like this, I was like, okay, I know that would have pissed me off 2 years ago, and now I'm like, you are the cutest person who's ever lived.
I know. It's like she gets a total redo. She's going to sell us on Rocker Tony now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like Rocker Tony with like a dark past is much more interesting than just Rocker Tony, you know, just showing up and being kind of dull.
Yeah, it's true. And what do we think? Do you have any thoughts about where this is leading or where you would like it to lead? What more you'd like to see?
People have been pointing out that there was some kind of significant pause. I didn't catch it in the minute before she answered one of RJ's questions, which people are now theorizing that she's actively faking the amnesia, which is also very fun. Like, that is a fun, like, way to come at Mariah. Like, if she lures Mariah into thinking yes. she has amnesia and then, like, murders her, like, that's very fun. So I wouldn't be mad by that.
No.
That's a fun way, too, to get that classic wrestling question in there of, is it a shoot or is it a work, you know? But, like, as a work, that's fun. That's a lot of layers.
Is it a shoot that Tony has amnesia? The question we're brave enough to ask. Could she maybe just really have amnesia? I'd be totally happy with that. Ooh, maybe we'll kick this last topic to late. When we get to some of the other women's stuff, maybe we'll talk about a couple of these re-debuts. All right, let's talk about somebody else who filled us with delight this week. Ricochet had an in-ring interview with Tony Schiavone on Dynamite, in which I actually didn't fully follow this. Tony said, "We've noticed a change in demeanor and attitude between," I think he was saying, "the last two matches Ricochet has had."
Mm-hmm.
Was that right? And what is that change in demeanor? Did he do more high flying?
No, like he did that promo where he like seemed like a car salesman who was like one car away from meeting his quota and it's almost midnight, you know, like he was just like, yeah, I love wrestling. Who doesn't love wrestling? I love wrestling and I love to wrestle. And I was like, what do you think is happening here?
Everyone's got a head injury this week. Ricochet was very cheerfully like, yes, and my new demeanor is amazing. Everyone's loving it, aren't they? And then he immediately got interrupted by the Hurt Syndicate, who came out to the ring. They had previously offered him, MVP had offered him a card and kind of, you know, it seemed like maybe he'll join the Hurt Syndicate. And that was his vibe. He was like, I can't wait to be a part of your club. And they immediately were like, you're actually a fucking nerd now. You're never joining our club. We hate you. They straight up bullied him and were like, you'll never join our faction. Then later in the show, backstage, Renee checked in with Ricochet. Ricochet immediately started clucking like a chicken, kind of. I don't know exactly what he was doing. I've called it kind of a humiliated psychic break. Like he was desperately trying to distract from the fact that he had been publicly bullied in the ring. And he got interrupted pretty quickly by Swerve and Prince Nana. They exchanged some barbs, you know, kind of like vaguely touching on their history, that, you know, knowing each other a little bit. Swerve called him Trevor, real dork ass name. So
he really is, yeah. Trevor from Paducah is not a cool person.
Sometimes you're like, oh, why did he change his name? That would have been a fine wrestler name. Not Ricochet.
No, he had
to go Ricochet.
And then Ricochet was promising to beat Ospreay and win the Connie, and he pointed out that Swerve did not manage to do that. Swerve didn't like that, and we kind of ended on that note. What do you guys think of Ricochet's new character?
I love it, and I'm in love with him.
Obsessed.
The man saw, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, you know, like there's a kind of an empty spot. Like we could use more top heels, so people need to heel turn to get in that top spot. Ricochet saw there is a pathetic dork hole in the roster, and I can fill that hole. Mm-hmm. And God bless him. We need it.
And Dave Meltzer was so mad about this. He was like, he made himself look like a geek. And I was like,
we needed that.
I have fucking had it. Let me quote Manolo this week. Manolo said one really smart thing this week and one really stupid thing this week. And this is the stupid thing. He said, at first reaction, AEW did no favors for Ricochet's character on this evening. He got clowned twice. Being called a turd should be fighting words in the world of professional wrestling. We'll see how this shakes out after the Continental Classic. It's like, do you guys not understand the concept of having a character who I can kind of empathize with and feel sorry for, and then over time, they grow and I grow with them, and I come to be like, wow, they're actually so strong and powerful. Even though at that time, they didn't know that yet because they were just a pathetic man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, both watching wrestling and what the wrestlers want, you know, when they're like refusing to lose or whatever. And then sometimes hearing the commentary of some men in the IWC also, it's like, you know, I thought the goal of stories in wrestling were to make me want one person to win. And it's like, you know what people like watching? The underdog win. So making someone an underdog gets me invested in their journey, and making someone cool and tough, that's the bully in the story that I want to see get their ass beat. So, like, what if Ricochet looks cool? How does that help me get invested in wrestling matches? Just out of curiosity, Dave Meltzer.
I think a lot of wrestling fans, I guess, don't feel that way. Like, they like cool guys, which is pretty repulsive. Like, it's like you guys don't, you haven't even watched, like, The Karate Kid or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I don't know.
So you guys really don't know what women want, do you?
I'm still kind of a noob to watching D&D podcasts because I don't watch it very, very slowly with my friends. But one of the things that happens, they explain, my friend explains to me about the culture all the time, is that there are some people that go into D&D and are massively trying to max their skills as soon as possible. And they it's all about how fast you can get through a battle and how much damage you can do. And then you've got people who've come into D&D and are like, I'm a little weird elf and I'm looking for love. And it's if you get to a mixed party, they really piss each other off. It's why should we battle? Can we just stand here and talk a little?
That's interesting. Yes, I do want to be a little weird elf looking for love, but I'm also I think the coolest thing you can be is a little weird elf who's just trying to find a way to win a battle without maxing out your stats, to be how can I use my little skills to somehow succeed?
Yeah, right. It's thrilling to watch Darby or Orange Cassidy have that comeback that they're, even though they're tiny, they can still use their advantages, their stupid little brains and their ability to withstand pain.
I think the other thing though is it's you got to lean into who you actually are. I'm not saying that Ricochet isn't cool, but his vibe wasn't I'm a super cool dude. His his vibe was kind of I'm a little weird. I want to be a little weird. So it's just be who you are. People are going to like that more.
And his vibe in these promos is so much happier. I think whatever theater kid thing he's doing, he's loving it. And that's what's important. We say that about Kenny all the time too, where it's everyone wants him to be Roman Reigns. And he's I want to be a weird elf looking for love.
I don't want to. Just because my stats are high doesn't mean I can't be a little weird elf.
I don't even want to be here. I just want to be gaming.
Don't you feel like Kenny would trade his entire career to have Tony Storm's recent career?
Oh my God. To be timeless Kenny. Wow. Yeah. I'd love to see it.
I know.
Yeah. No one else is really innovating in the spaces that she is, you know?
No. Boy. Well, I think we all feel really happy with Ricochet. It's just baffling to me that anybody is upset. It's good. This'll do more to get him over than anything he's done.
Yeah.
I think so.
I potentially is also going to give him some direction in his Connie promos. I don't know exactly what he's like. I don't know what his goals is, but if he treats the Connie as the way to show off for MVP, that's something, you know. It's more than I'm going to win real big, which is what every single fucking other person does.
Well, let's get into what's going on in the Connie, which got demoted in the schedule because we're all so fucking pissed off. I'm rip shit about what has gone on in this tournament that I looked forward to all fucking year. Shelton Benjamin and Okada both defeated the Beast Mortos this week on Collision and Dynamite, respectively. Totally fine. That's fine. Mark Briscoe pulled out a surprise win over Kyle Fletcher. I forgot to watch this promo. Kyle did a promo about it, right?
He just did. Especially because there were only three Connie promos. No Dynamite. All the Collision ones. Okada's was 15 seconds long.
Yeah, was barely a promo.
Everybody's phoned it in. I guess it's Christmas. They're all circling back.
I don't care.
They don't
care.
Work in an office.
No, there is no circling back in wrestling. It's a squared circle.
It'd be really funny for someone to lose a match and be "We're gonna circle back in the new year."
Okay, yeah, that would be funny.
That's a free gimmick. Gimmick of the office worker at the wrestling ring.
Hey, if the EVPs were still wrestling, that would be really good.
Oh my
good
God.
On that one.
Oh, I need to hear Matt Jackson say he's gonna circle back in the new year.
Kyle was in a strop because he had lost.
Wow.
And okay, so he was throwing things and slamming things and shrieking bloody murder. And Don Callis was trying to do his best daddy magic where he was it okay. Don't be crying.
Which Don Callis is not remotely cut out for, because no. Like if Don Callis is saying don't be cry to you, you know that in his head he's being like, should I replace him? I can get another one.
Yeah, he's already out shopping.
No. I'll just buy a new man. That's not a problem for me. okay, and then oh God, was this even relevant? This Danny Garcia, Mark Briscoe thing, did this happen in the Connie? When did this happen?
I think it's my notes, and of course I don't really remember what happened, but after someone's match, probably with Shelty B, like Danny Garcia ran out to like threaten him.
Shelton?
To threaten the hurt people. It was like, or to make them back off. And I was like, does Danny Garcia have like beef with them? Like, I didn't really follow what was happening.
Danny Garcia, maybe you should turn your attention back to the Death Riders. You kind of gave up on that, huh? Yeah. You just kind of decided that wasn't a priority anymore, huh?
You were like, oh, so he can fend for himself, yeah.
I'm sure I missed some stuff. But also, it's like, did I also kind of miss the stuff because I'm mad at Tony Khan for not booking a super fun Connie with really great promos? Yeah, probably. I'm not motivated to pay attention under these conditions.
That's right.
Anyway, but let's turn our attention to something we did like, okay, in the Connie. This was the big news of the week. Darby and Will Ospreay had a run-in backstage on Collision in which Ospreay thanked Darby for the save last week. And Darby immediately just launched into a rant about how AEW is falling down around their ears. Someone has to do something about it. Like, you know, we can't be sitting around on our butts. Like, we got to get out there. Ospreay just looked kind of like bemused. Like, I don't know about any of that. Like, he was like, well, I've actually been losing a lot, and that's what matters to me. I'm having a losing streak, and I'm just trying to deal with that. And Darby said, I don't care about your personal problems. This is bigger than you. Like, there might not be a Continental Classic next year if we don't deal with the Death Riders. Like, I'm caring about this company. What are you doing, Will? And Will was like, as I said, I'm caring about winning my matches at the tournament that we're in.
The vibe was kind of like when you have one of those conversations where you're like, oh, I stubbed my toe. And like your friend is like, people have real problems, kid. And you're like, okay, but my toe still hurts.
Well, and Ospreay ended his segment by saying like, I'll tell you, this is someone who respects you. I need this more than anything to win. But after this is done, knock on my door. And if you need someone in the foxhole with you, I'm game. I'll see you next week.
Well, 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 in the foxhole, huh?
The foxhole with you.
We know what goes on in foxholes.
Oh, we do. When men are in war and there's only men around and they're afraid.
Their passions are up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And foxes are there. It was two people, each just in their own world of concerns and just talking past each other.
Yeah.
Because Darby did just look like, what the fuck do you mean be in a foxhole with me? I'm trying to wage war on the Death Riders now. Then they had their match scheduled for Dynamite this week. And as we've said in the past on this podcast, they really did it.
Yeah.
They really did it.
I would say that I watched this match.
Whoa, did I?
The highest compliment we can bestow on people. I would not, like, I would expect Ospreay Darby to be a good match, and I was, like, excited for it. But this really surpassed my expectations.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the chemistry they had, like, how they.
It was electric. I mean,
it was electric. Well, Leah, you start us off. What did you see with your scientist eye as the match began?
Well, it was like, okay, so when Darby fought Commander, we were joking about how like they were both wrestling a different kind of match. And it was like, this match, Darby, like his vibe was just like he was showing off. And he was just like, I can do cool moves too, Will. Do you want to see them? And actually, like, I always think of Darby as, like, his moves are about, like, I don't care if I live or die. But I never think, like, that's a crisp move. You know what I mean? Like, I don't usually think of Darby as someone who's technically. Because, like, I'm always just like, how did he survive that? Like, that's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. But in this, a lot of the flips he was doing or the moves he was doing, I was like, that is, like. That is really good. Are you showing off for Mr.
This
Ospreay?
This is peacocking.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were going like so fast and smooth and just from one thing into the next. And like, I love watching Darby wrestle, and usually like him with a big guy getting thrown around is kind of like the ideal Darby match.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like really starting to be like, oh, but this Ospreay match with him, this is even a more top level than a big man throwing him around. I mean, Ospreay's big enough, you know, but not, he's no Brody King, you know.
No, so. Certainly not.
Well, and the fact that they had this promo on Collision where the vibe was that Darby was like, I'm taking things fucking seriously and you're just a dumb baby. And then he got in there, but he was showing off. And then it felt like there was just a building electricity of just like, oh, fuck, you came to play? You came to fucking play my way? And then he got, I would say, maybe everything he's ever needed. Like,
yeah.
So was this a transcendental sexual experience?
And after having watched him with Commander, where it was like, Commander was doing flips and good wrestling, but it clearly wasn't sexually satisfying, to then watch like Will Ospreay, who also like does lots of good flips and good wrestling, and it has a golden retriever energy that I wouldn't think would be sexually satisfying to Darby, but it was.
But it was, the vibe was kind of like, that's Darby's journey. You know, Darby walked into that floor being like, and this is another match that's going to give me nothing. And then it was like, oh, he matches my freak. Oh, fuck.
Yes, yes. But then afterwards, he's still going to be a little golden retriever. Like, it's like, wow, a lot to unpack here. For girls, there's quite a bit to unpack here. I had the time of my fucking life. I wish I could watch it every night. I wish I could watch it every fucking night.
Absolutely incredible.
And Darby won the match, which was also a shocker.
Crazy. Yeah. Loved it.
Didn't see that coming.
Ass.
No, not at all.
But then we got no post-match promos, huh?
Yeah. Well, they were aftercare.
That's so true. Oh, they got to go to the aftercare room? So you just get out of doing post-match promos if you say, oh, we have to go do aftercare. Sorry. Well,
I actually wasn't talking about medical. I was just doing, like, more sexual jokes.
I know. That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Well, they had to. It was such a sexual match. They had to go, like, smoke a cigarette and be like, you did so good.
They didn't want to film promos with jizz aftercare all over them.
Yeah, they'd clean up, Allie. Don't be an animal.
It can't go on television.
I am an animal. It's the Continental Classic, okay? If you don't want to have to film your aftercare for a promo, then don't put on this match during the Continental Classic, okay? We live in a society. There are expectations. I'm totally fine if the promo is just some poor cameraman hunting them down in the corner where Will Ospreay is petting Darby's hair back and being like, you did so good, and Darby is in outer space, and the poor camera guy has to be like, I see that you're covered in jizz stains, but can I just get a couple words about the
Can I make a joke that will only be funny to you guys and funny to the listeners in a couple days?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
perfect time to say it's like Blackpool Illuminations in here.
The cameraman walks in and is like, wow.
It's like never Blackpool seen Illuminations more in here.
Blackpool Illuminations.
I've never
and
seen
you will
like.
Get that joke in the future.
On Tuesday. Enjoy it. Listen to Trish and Sarah.
Wowie zowie. I think they should have had to film it. I think they should have had to film that.
It's crazy how much they're dropping the ball on this Continental Classic. Like, you'd think it wouldn't be so much to ask to have a 1-minute promo from each person after their matches.
Yeah.
It's not. It's fucking not. But whatever. I guess it's like, how much can you complain when it's like, I had the time of my life and I owe it all to you, but.
Did you see people predicting that Okada's going to win it?
Whole tournament?
Yeah.
Why? How?
I don't know.
He's barely, look, lovingly, like, it's like, I love seeing Okada. I love when he's doing his goose. I don't mind watching him wrestle, but, like, that man did not come to this tournament to win.
No.
No. No. Does he have any story going in the Continental Classic? No. Like, I haven't seen it.
I don't know. It's just, I show up to work when I don't do.
Like, his vibe is sort of like, he came to hang out with the Young Bucks, and somebody put him to work, and he's just like, well, might as well. I'm here anyways. Like,
the Young Bucks are gone, so I guess I'll do some wrestling. Sure. There's a tournament, whatever.
This is why I feel like, really pay attention when I say, like, lovingly, he's not here to win. Like, I love everything this man is getting up to. I love that he's Okada slut. Okay, but he can't win the Continental Classic.
Personally, he's my favorite person on the roster, but like he's just not doing anything, you know, in the ring or promos. Unless the Bucks are there, I guess.
If you're not telling a story, you can't win the Continental Classic. I guess I thought that was a rule, but what do I know?
Apparently, it was just a fluke last year, and we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Can you guys speak to this? I think I missed the point at which this was explicitly explained. But so the deal with the Connie this year is that at World's End, there will be the two semifinal matches, and then also the final match.
Yeah.
People are doing double matches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty fun, actually.
I know. It could be if I was enjoying the rest of the Connie, but all just feels so rushed and like he's jamming it in.
But it's like if there were like two good stories I was really invested in and then we were getting the two final matches and then the final, it'd be like, yeah, it could be really fun. It could really sell the pay-per-view to me, but they're not doing fun stories.
Yeah. Well, because it's interesting to think about someone having to pivot really fast from like, I'm in this mindset from the situation I have with you, and now I immediately have to cast that aside and get in a totally different mindset to wrestle someone that I have a totally different issue with. Who do you think the four that we're getting are, if you had to guess?
Osprey and Fletcher, I would guess, are going to...
They are at least doing
semifinals again. And then if Okada's the third, I would guess Mark Briscoe. Although I don't know if mathematically that makes any sense. I haven't looked at the standings.
You don't think Darby's going to make it to the finals?
Oh, yeah, Darby as well.
I think Darby will.
Yeah. Well, I only said Mark Briscoe because he's doing such a storyline of like...
He's having a comeback.
The guy hold it, like hauling 20 pounds of weight up a hill, you know what I mean?
But I guess Darby Mark Briscoe might be doing a 5 to 10 year storyline where he's in the Connie every year and every year he gets one more point.
Oh, actually Briscoe is in the same league as Okada and Fletcher. So I had to pull it up.
So maybe
it is Osprey and Darby then because they're.
Yeah, because Darby's in the Gold League with Osprey. And otherwise it's Claudio, Ricochet, Brody, and Commander who... Yeah, so it's probably Darby.
Yeah, can't be Claudio, can't be Ricochet, can't be Commander, can't be Brody. Why did I just say all of them again? I guess I was just working through it for myself.
Yeah. So, you know.
Interesting. Okay, well, I guess we'll see what happens. Shall we move on to... Oh, dear. Okay. Well, it's the Death Riders, but... Let me just preface this by saying it's like I'm not registering any real objection to the storyline to the Death Riders right now, but I will say it's somehow proving very difficult for me to hold some of the stuff leading up to this fatal four-way in my mind. It just slips out like water, and I just get images of like, and you were all there, but why? I don't know. And what were you feeling? That's also not my business. So I did my best here, and hopefully it'll be normal. There was a big party match on Collision for no reason. Could that be right? No real reason.
No, yeah. I couldn't figure it out.
I don't think there was a real reason, no.
Great. OC got the pin. And then at the end of Collision, there was a backstage segment where the Death Riders were kind of like hiding behind a cart, giggling to themselves, so excited, both to learn how to use a camera and to film the abduction they were planning. They were planning to abduct FTR, and they did so, and they filmed it, and they were so pleased with themselves.
When Mox was trying to be like, you know how to film it? You know, like, it was like, oh, yeah, Mox does not know how to get the phone to do that, so...
Says I destroyed my phone, so I don't really know what they can do. So FTR just got hauled out the back door, right?
Sacks over their heads, yeah.
Sacks over their heads,
but like
and
then
Yuta smirked about it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for them. I hope they got their nuts like kicked in.
Like electric
shock. That's the first time I've ever heard you say something like that, and I love it. I've never heard you say that you wanted someone to get their nuts kicked in.
I was trying to think of something so deeply unsexy and violent.
Yeah.
And that's what I summoned, where I was just like, I just want bad things, bad, not interesting things to happen.
oh, yeah, totally just a mundane nut kicking. Yeah, like, yeah. It's like, there's nothing special about you. You're just a man who got his nuts kicked in. Yeah. Join the ranks worldwide every day. So then on Dynamite this week, we got an FTR promo. They were coming to us live from a... I wish it had been a windowless dungeon, but it was just some kind of blank room. A blank white room of some sort.
Kind of a living room with hotel art on it. Like,
yeah. And they were looking a little worn down, and I believe Cash said something like, "You all saw what happened to us last week, and now we're here giving a promo to you because we've got to get those Death Riders back." I thought, stop. What do you mean we all saw? I saw you get hauled out of a building with a bag over your head. What happened after that?
Yeah. How'd you get away, guys?
What did they do to you?
Yeah. Why don't you want to talk about what happened to you when they had you?
I hope that the Death Riders strip them and tape them to a flagpole naked.
In front of the whole school.
The whole school.
And then kicked their nuts.
You know what else I hate about this fucking promo? And I think they did it in another one, too, where they were like, now, we don't have a problem with the Death Riders. We're actually, like, on both sides. Like, we just see both points of view. So I don't know why people are mad at us. And I was like, pick a side.
It's classic FTR, yeah. Like,
yeah, they abducted us. And they did things to us so unspeakable that they can't be shown on TV. And we refuse to mention them. But we don't have a problem with them. What do you mean?
What do you mean?
You're so mad at the Young Bucks for taking over, but Mox is fine?
It's absolutely nonsensical. Like, and it's like, it's so hard to unpack. But from a narrative perspective, I guess you could be holding the secret of what happened to FTR in reserve to reveal later. That would, of course, potentially be narratively interesting. I suspect that's not what will happen.
If they were going to do that, it'd be so fun. Their next promo was them looking squirrely as fuck and like jumping at noises. What was that? Yeah. Anyway, nothing happened to us, Tony. Nothing happened. It was fine.
Yeah.
We're not mad at the Death Riders.
Yeah. If Alex Marvez rocked up to them and was like, wow, so what happened after you were kidnapped? They were like, nothing happened. Why do people keep asking us that? Yeah, I'd be interested.
Yeah. The other thing they could have done is, so we see them getting abducted. Then they cut this promo. They could have leaned into a little more of a kind of a Stepford Wife persona of just like, we have no problems with Mox, but we are contractually obligated to fight the Death Riders at Fight for the Fallen in support of our charity for the hurricane victims. Mm-hmm. And we're so excited to fight with them. And we love working at AEW and we love working with the Death Riders. Yeah. That would be fun because it'd be like, and what are they building in there?
Right.
What have they got? What are they doing in their little dungeon? Where's their dungeon and what tools do they have in there?
And they're mind washing. They're both wearing the white t-shirts and green pants that from Brian Danielson's wardrobe.
Yes. That's nothing.
It's not nothing.
That's fun.
But do you think that they think that it was like completely sufficient to just be like, yeah, we got kidnapped. Like, you know, don't worry about what happened. Like it's so bad to get kidnapped. That's enough.
I am so positive that it never occurred to them for a second that anyone would wonder.
Judging from every other story about them.
Which it's like, I'm not about. Worried. I want to revel in whatever painful things you were subjected to. Well, I did want to mention, this was the one smart thing that Manolo said this week, and I thought that he actually should get some kind of most improved man award for it, because Manolo is often deriding things in a way that I'm like, this is really over the top. But he labeled the Death Riders section in his Collision recap Death Riders comedy, and he said the Death Riders were up to no good and it was hilarious. The latest chapter of John Moxley's story involved an ambush on FTR. No context needed to enjoy these shenanigans. Now that I've decided to watch the Death Riders story as a comedy caper, this scene was a barrel of laughs. I read this and I thought, thank you for going to therapy about this one thing. You can decide how to perceive things. You can decide with your mind. Mm-hmm. I'm simply going to focus on the fun, on the funny here, and then I will enjoy myself. I said that is a huge lesson for you to learn, Manolo. Congratulations.
Yeah. And in wrestling, you can watch so many things as a comedy, and then you're having a blast.
Yeah. Almost all of it, yeah. So I was happy about that. Okay. Then on Dynamite, the Death Riders fought Hangman, Jay White, and Orange Cassidy and won. And we had a backstage segment with Renee before the match. Renee asked Orange Cassidy and Jay White, are you guys more focused on the Death Riders tonight or on each other? An absolutely scintillating, erotic little question. And did we get an erotic little answer?
No, we did not.
No, we
what
didn't.
What answer did we receive?
We got, I'm focused on the AEW championship. Okay, that's not sexy at all.
So gross. Although, in fairness to Jay White, he was doing, I don't know, I guess I was going to say the performance of a lifetime, but it's hard to know what exactly he was performing. He just was so full of energy in his response, and he was like, he was doing it like a monologue, like I was just, I don't know, something crazy was going on with him. And then he did say, he was saying like, if there's one man that we do not need on this team, it's and it was Hangman, because Hangman came in just then. And what did he do, guys? What did he want to answer me?
What did he say? What was the exact words he said?
I don't remember.
It's like, I want...
Mox, like, is doesn't belong Mox to you. Mine. He belongs. Yeah. He's Mox mine. He belongs to
me. Or his ass
like
is
that.
Mine or something.
Yeah. To Renee. To Renee. Mox's wife.
That was the thing that I remembered, that he once again said something bizarrely erotic to a man's wife. Her husband. Mox's husband, Renee.
I'm good at spots. Husband, talking. Wife, Renee. She's not surprised at this point. I mean, she knows. Mm-hmm. She says, well, I mean, you are in love with my husband. And that's okay.
She knows all about how Hangman wants to eat his ass alive, you know? It's not new information.
Her face was so funny because it, like, it was kind of resigned. Where she was just like, oh, God.
And it was like, for then Jay White is stomping off after him with a vibe of like, no, Mox is mine. Orange Cassidy is standing there. The bags under his eyes have never looked deeper. He just looks like, I have a migraine. My head hurts. My whole body hurts. I wish to God I were dead. Renee, help me. And Renee is just looking at him like, what do you want me to do? Everyone's just arguing over who's going to fuck my husband. Like, I have no power here, I'm afraid. Like, you're going to have to go work it out in the ring like everybody else. So they went and they fought the match. And it was the main event match. And they simply just fought it. And it was... fine, right? It was fine.
Well, I liked it.
It was, the thing was that I was not paying my best attention because I got really worked up by Darby Ospreay and kind of lost it afterwards. I would stop paying attention when there was wrestling parts, and then I would tune back in when they were doing like shoving and yelling, and that part, that was very fun. I do like when an entire team is fucking falling apart. I do like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like early on, Jay White was like yelling at Hangman because he had done something, and Hangman just like stomped out and left, which was very fun. And then he stomped back in later. And I mean, they did a good job of setting up like, oh, these guys can't get along. I don't know how this four-way is going to go.
And didn't they do a thing where Hangman was like, I'm going in first. I'm going in and I'm going to fight first. And then like someone, was it Pac from the other? Or Yuta? No, it was Yuta, because Yuta from the other team goes in, and Hangman, very funny, was like, oh, well, if it's not Mox, I don't really care.
I think OC wants this guy.
Yeah, I think he wants him or something. I do like, have we ever seen a team where everybody isn't on the same page, but they actually do try to have a strategy meeting ahead of time? Because I like, they never seem to have managed it. It's always just like, and I guess it is, it's just like Hangman didn't want to. Hangman refused to show up on time, so they didn't even try to get on the same page. I just think it's like maybe sometimes it's like, try to get along, sure, you know?
It'd be fun to see the session where they tried to, like, try to do a group project and get in a fight and Hangman storms out. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have seen trios that have fallen apart in that way, but not, like, the strategy meetings, which would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is always fun to watch people not be on the same page and do badly as a result. Mm-hmm. That was good. And they did seem to have, I mean, maybe they had some kind of strategy meeting because they did all look really orange. So
they just plan their outfits and their skin tone together, but they forgot to talk about strategy.
Do you think there's something up with the lighting that is causing this?
Jay White either looked crazy. The color that he was wild.
But they all did. I mean, the color he was.
I mean, they all
wild.
Did, but he was the most.
I guess, though, it's just like I think back to how these men I know and love used to look, and I'm like, they weren't this orange. Something is happening. Like, I don't know if, like, Tony Khan is buying them self-tanner, but he buys them at some kind of subpar brand that's producing this. I don't know if it's the lighting. I don't know if it's some kind of contagious skin issue that actually everybody has at this point. I don't know, but I know that this isn't what it used to look like when I looked at these men.
Yeah. It's an epidemic, you know?
I'm really worried for them.
Adam Cole looked like a pretty normal shade. Later, we're going to talk about it.
He but got, maybe, yeah, we'll talk about it, but he got bullied into it.
He got so bullied now into we just it. Need to. But maybe his self-tanner, like maybe there's a requisite amount that has to be used like by law backstage, and so they really had to spread it around to everyone else.
Yeah, so Adam Cole wasn't using it, so all ended up on Jane White's shoulders.
Yep, exactly.
Here's a thought I just had. Adam Cole perhaps signed a brand deal with some self-tanner to produce Better Than You, Baby self-tanner he has been handing out to people backstage. He gets lots of free samples. These are the results it produces. He's a nice guy in real life. Everybody is afraid to just say, like, this is a very bad product. Yeah. I don't think that any, but because he's always just giving it to you and being like, oh, lather up, man. I can't wait to see you all.
And be like, hey, buddy, I'd love it if you could wear this out there as like a promotion, like how a little bit of the bubbly used to be on the show all the time, you know, it's sort of like a brand synergy thing. And they're all like, well, I do love Adam Cole.
And honestly, it adds up because there's nothing wrestlers love more than free shit. So, like, I think you could tell them this is a bad thing of self-tanner and it will make you look orange. And they're like, but it's you're giving it to me for free.
It's for free.
Let me slap that all over myself.
And if we're all wearing it, I won't look that crazy. So,
well, that's their big mistake, because somehow every week for at least the past month, it has gotten exponentially crazier looking in the ring. I mean, nobody is coming out looking normal these days. All right. Any other general thoughts on the old, the match end? There's a whole ending to the match. Hangman left. He came back. They were fighting. Everyone's fighting someone. Mox is skedaddling away. Well, the Fatal 4-Way is coming, but are any of them prepared because they lost this match? Is that it?
Yeah, that basically is it.
Any thoughts?
I mean, I'm still like stoked. It's like probably it doesn't really hang together, but like I like watching all these guys, so I'm like excited for the 4-way, and I had a good time watching this.
I'm happy to watch the match. I'm interested in what is going to happen with all of these men after the match, because I was feeling a little hungry at the end. I was like, okay, you're in this Fatal 4-Way, but, like, I just don't really buy that the world title is what's going on with any of you, actually. I'm like, I need you to all be having, like, a little bit of a kind of a crisis, an internal crisis of some sort that kicks off a storyline in the new year. I'd like to see some storylines that are not about the world title. They're about you not really understanding yourself as a person anymore. So we'll see. Willow Nightingale beat Jamie Hayter on Collision, and she won entrance into the NJPW Dynasty International Women's Cup. So she'll be going to Japan for that on January 5th. Afterwards, the lights went out. Julia Hart appeared in the ring and DDT'd Jamie. Jamie cut a response promo on Dynamite in which she called Julia a coward and challenged her to fight at Fight for the Fallen. And that is taking place in the future. That's the January one, January one or whatever. They've named every show at the end of this year. I'm exhausted. I can't keep track of these names.
Christmas Collision, Christmas on
Holiday Bash,
Holiday Bash, New Year's Smash.
Oh yeah, Bash, Smash, Crash.
It was a monster mash.
Okay. Any general thoughts about any of that? I guess this is where we could talk about. So Jamie has been back for a little while, so we can kind of assess like how her return has gone. And Leah, I think you had suggested you had some thoughts about her return versus how Tony's immediate return has been handled.
Well, that's, I mean, so I feel like I've seen a lot of people get very upset by the fact that Tony came back for matches on Rampage and Collision. And I can kind of see if I'm like trying to care, I can see that. But to me, I'm like, the difference between Tony and Jamie's return is they gave Tony something to do.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like immediately, yeah. I couldn't care less if she wrestles Rampage every week. Well, it's not sticking around. I don't care. But like the fact that we have a reason to care about her. We know like there's something intriguing going on. She doesn't even have like a feud right now. Like she's just wandering around saying crazy stuff. And it's like, I think like something's going on with Jamie too, considering that she's time traveled to 1973. But like,
she doesn't know about time travel the way Tony does though.
No, yeah. It's just, she just got slotted into the exact same formulaic women's feuds. So like, that I'm like, I wish that they were thinking like this for everybody, not just Tony, where they were like, okay, you're coming back and your thing is going to be this, you know?
Right. But mm-hmm. It's like your thing is about who you are as a person, because there's two things. I mean, like two, you know, probable things that could be going on with Tony. Yeah. Like one is Tony genuinely has amnesia, which is triggered by the trauma of losing a world title. And mm-hmm. that's what does it to her. And then she's like, I just lose my mind. And, you know, next thing you know, something's happening to my brain. Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't have amnesia for real, but she's pretending to have amnesia because she wants to get back at Mariah somehow, or because, like, she doesn't want to deal, you know, with, like, things that have actually happened. So she's choosing to just be like, I pretend they haven't happened and mm-hmm. I can, you know, kind of like get control of my life again. But those mm-hmm. are all like, those are internal issues that then are going to like bleed out into how she interacts with other people. Mm-hmm. And Jamie's return hasn't really had that, because I'm like, I have no idea what's going on with Jamie. I know she was out for a year and she didn't like that. She'd rather be wrestling. And now Julia's menacing her and she doesn't want to be menaced. But like, I don't know anything about like, you know, Jamie as a person and her, you know, what do you want? Yeah. What do you fear? Like, what are your insecurities? Like, I don't have access to any of that. And that makes it more difficult. Like, it's like, I love watching her wrestle, but it's like, well, I'm not crazy engaged with this Jamie Julia Hart storyline because, you know, what are you about, sister?
Right.
Yeah.
But when you bring someone back, like, you should immediately be like, okay, we're trying to reintroduce you to their heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Tony one's working, because that's, like, a big reason we watched Rampage and Collision, because it was like, oh, I'm interested in what's going on with
exactly,
her.
Exactly, yeah. But...
yeah.
And if they want me to watch their stupid extra shows, that's what they need to be doing.
That's what they need to do.
My God. My God. Okay. Well, it's like, I do want to see the Jamie Julia match, and you know, I do love Julia, and it's like, mm-hmm. you know, none of that was meant to insult anybody, but I am just like, come on, give me a little something more. Be vulnerable. Yeah. You have to be vulnerable. That's where art comes from.
Okay. Yeah.
Mercedes and Anna Jay fought on Dynamite. Mercedes won. I thought they both looked great. I loved this match.
I really liked this match. There were a couple like sequences that I was like, that was really good. Girls, are you seeing this?
Yeah. It's like, this is good wrestling, I think. This is a lot of fun.
I love when we're watching wrestling together and we say to each other our favorite thing of, I think this might be like really good wrestling. None of us confident. And we're just like hoping that somebody else will be like, I think that too.
Because it's the amount of times that we've been burned where we were charged onto the internet. Like, I love that match. And the whole internet was like, that was the most embarrassing match I've ever seen. I was like, oh, God damn it. Happened again.
I don't know why we ever think that just because we have a consensus, like it does. I do always feel like, oh, thank God we all agree. So it must actually be good. That's not what that means. That's actually not what that means at all.
Tunnel Talk match of the year was Sheldon versus Sammy, a universally panned match.
Maybe it's just we might have to contend with the fact that we were just actually so happy to see Sammy again. That's what happened. Anyway, I really liked this match. I love Anna Jay. She's my little baby. I mean, I feel like I watched her grow up from a little child.
I know. She's doing so much better. That trip to Japan really helped her out.
I know. She's there was really, like people kept saying, like, she should go to, someone should send her to Japan. And I kind of didn't fully understand because I thought it was just like, get her out of here, like out of my sight, and we'll ship her to Japan. It's like, no, actually, everybody should have to go to Stardom because they come back killer.
I know. What are they doing over there?
I have no idea. Somebody in our Discord channel once again brought us a promo and was like, girls, I really think that you would like Stardom. And I was like, I know. I just can't do it. Of course I would.
Of course we're aware.
While Tony's cramming these collisions and rampages and Fight for the Fallens and Holiday Bash Smash and Crashes down our throat, yeah, we don't have the bandwidth. We'll circle back in the new year, okay? We'll just circle back.
It's just a shame. It's a shame to keep encountering Stardom-type things and being like...
Yeah, that would make us
happy. It would be our perfect show if it aired on TV and also like didn't like aired at the same time every week. That was American Nighttime.
Yeah. It aired at American Nighttime every week. Yeah, that would be good for us. Chris Statlander was watching on the monitor backstage. Watching the match, she had an interview with Alex Scoops Marvez on Collision, I think, Collision or Rampage. I don't even remember what they said. I was just so repulsed that they both were, like, really normal. Like,
yeah.
Do you think whatever carbon monoxide leak is affecting Kyle O'Reilly, it's also affecting
Scoops? Oh, God, Scoops!
Has Adam Cole gotten to Scoops?
Oh, my God. No, that's exactly right. It's that Adam Cole approached Scoops and was like, man, you always seem so stressed out. I just hate to see it. Oh, like, God. I want you to know, like, you know, you're never going to have to, you don't have to, like, be grubbing around hunting for Scoops to feed your family. I would never let your family starve. Like, you'll always have old Adam Cole to fall back on. And that's why Scoops now is showing up, like, whether I get a scoop or not, I know that I have value as a person. Gross.
Gross. No, I want you in the grass like a truffle dog.
I swear to God, if Adam Cole heals one more person's emotional issues, I'm going to go rip him limb from limb.
Right. When I see Alex Scoops Marvez, I want the vibe to be like, a bully is looking at him so condescendingly, and it's just like, God, I could make you do anything for a scoop. And Alex is kind of like, and it says, say it. Say you'd do anything for a scoop. And Alex says, I'd do anything for a scoop. And the bully is like, would you eat a worm? Can I make you eat? If you eat a worm, I'll give you a scoop. And Alex Scoops Marvez is like, I don't have a worm. Just go find a worm. Go find a worm and eat it in front of me, and I'll
get on
you
your
a
hands
scoop.
And knees. Find a worm down there.
For a little while, that was the vibe that Okada had with him.
Well, it's absolutely the vibe he used to have with the Young Bucks when he was scurrying around after the Young Bucks. Mm. God.
I'd love to watch Matt Jackson make Alex Marvez eat a worm.
Please, God. We don't ask for much from you.
Oh, my God. Ann, you say it. You won the amnesia thing.
Do you think that Scoops Marvez can eat a worm?
But please, God, give Anne the power to make everything that she says come true. God, I can't believe the evils that Adam Cole is doing backstage.
I know.
He truly is the devil.
That is really rough. And then Mercedes is going to fight Mina at Wrestle Dynasty. And I don't know if we know why this is happening. I don't know if there's anything that we can go watch somewhere that has set this up. I have no idea, but I'm pretty sure the match will fuck. So, with that. Yeah.
Pretty stoked.
Great. Mariah May and Thunder Rosa are going to have a Tijuana street fight at World's End. Mariah, I think, has had more than one promo about this, but I could only find this one where somehow Thunder Rosa's father had come up, and I don't know where that... I'm missing some pieces, maybe, but she says she's going to, like, kill her in front of her father. Yeah. And that's what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Unfortunately, this is a really, like, off-balance feud because I'm like, yeah, Mariah should kill her. I hope she squashes her.
Get her.
It's true. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Okay, let's check in on our little babies. We got a Kenny hype package on Dynamite. Asked for, therefore made. We received a Kenny hype package. He's really coming home, guys. He's actually going to come
home. He's coming home.
So excited.
He's coming home.
He looked beautiful. Just seeing, I mean, it wasn't recent footage, but the old footage, he looked beautiful.
He looked great.
I loved remembering how beautiful he used to be. Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you think he's happy to be coming home to us? Do you think he wants to come home to us?
No, I think he wants to stay in Japan, but.
Yeah, I know. So you think he's.
We're maybe going to be dragging him home from Japan.
Oh my God. He's throwing a temper tantrum at the airport. We're like, Kenny, stop it. You are getting on this plane. I don't want to be apologizing to everybody in first class that you're crying the whole way.
You're boarding the plane with little beer plug packets that you're handing out. Like, no. We've got a Kenny on the plane, so sorry if they're, we just wanted to introduce ourselves.
It's his 1,000th flight, and he likes it less and less every time. Do you think that he's going to dress nice for us when he comes home, or do you think he's going to dress like laundry day?
I think
we're going to see some athletic shorts coming out.
Yeah.
Crumpled.
And it's going to hurt all the more because I know he's going to look so good at Dynasty.
Oh, he's going to look so good. He's going to be in some absolutely fucking banger outfit. He'll be dressed by, like, some kind of Gundam wing. And when we see him, he'll be dressed like Oscar the Grouch.
I love if he came out covered in trash, like wearing a little trash can around his waist. Kenny, that's a free idea, Kenny.
And you know what? We'll be on this podcast being like, oh, wait, he was my baby. He was my baby. I love him so much.
I love this him so trash much. Such a nasty little boy. I'm just going to shove him into the bathtub. When Kenny is mad at us, he does somehow manage to communicate the, pig pen, cloud of dirt around him. It's just And then do you think, what kind of storyline do you want to see him in when he comes back? Do you think there'll be anyone? Is there anyone for him to kiss?
I think that Trish and Sarah seem to think he was. No, it was Rich. It was ONR. Seemed like he's coming back for Okada. I don't know. They fought before, but do they have kissing vibes? I don't know.
I would be skeptical if they.
Do
I
they have to fight again? Does it have to
really, I don't really want them to. Can't he
fight someone else, a different? I'm sorry, I'm not meaning offense, Okada, but I don't know. Is that what we need? Is that what anyone needs?
No. Okada really hasn't electrified me, erotically speaking.
No.
I mean, he's so handsome, but.
So handsome, so cute, he's Tintin. So funny.
He's beautiful Tintin. Mm-hmm. He's perfect. He is not.
I would say, as soon as the bell rings, it's kind of like a white noise machine for me. and then he wins, and I love him again. Because he's so cute.
Hey, these are the opinions we're getting canceled for every day.
Did Kenny get fired from the Elite, or was he just suspended from the Elite?
No, he got fired.
Hangman got suspended.
All right, and so he's still fired.
Yes, and actually we'll circle back on that suspense in a second because the other thing that happened with the Elite this week was that Jack Perry was fighting, I didn't fill in any of the information my friend gave me, was fighting someone at something that has Evolve in the name.
It was New Japan's Strong Style Evolve 2024, and he was in a tag match.
I made Leah go get this information for me. I was so busy doing the schedule, and I acted like she was my secretary. I was like, can you pull that file for me, Leah? And then I simply didn't put the information in the schedule. Well, anyway, that was happening. The Young Bucks made a surprise appearance, did a little super kick. They vamped for the crowd, and then later they cut a backstage promo with Jack Perry in which there was some clear tension where – I thought this was a little strange, actually. JB seemed mad that the Bucks had been absent while he was doing BDSM with Danny Garcia. It seemed like he wished that his dads had been there. It's like, Danny brought his dad, but you guys didn't bother to show up to our dungeon session.
And Matt's response to that was so funny, because he was just kind of like, well, like, we had laundry.
Literally, going like, on I was doing day. Dishes.
Had to wash my hair.
Do you want to talk? You want to talk outfits?
Yeah, I do. So say it, speak. The outfits that they wore to the ring were insane. So
my God.
Matt was wearing a red like blazer that was like sequined in a way that was absurd. It looked absolutely absurd, and I was obsessed with it. I think we all came up with some like amazing like analogies for what we thought was happening here.
Yeah.
Mary had evil televangelist's wife, which I loved.
100%.
Lounge singer on a boomer cruise.
Liza Minnelli impersonator.
Liza Minnelli and her.
Some of these, I believe some of these courtesy of some people in our channel whose names I can't remember right now, but you guys are all the funniest people alive. So
yeah. Really bad magician at a Las Vegas stage show.
But then he also just looked like Christmas mom. Fun loving Christmas mom. She's about this to have a vodka crayon.
It's the outfit for the family pictures. Exactly. You know, everyone's wearing white jeans probably.
'Tis the season, time to look good. These are going to be hanging on the fridges all year, so let's get on our tight white pants, our beautiful sparkly Kohl's blazer, and let's just do it upright, baby.
And that kind of adds up, because like that he was wearing that for the pictures.
Yes.
And then the second he got backstage, it was like his hair went up, the jacket was gone. He was like, all right, we're done. Settling in.
We got a good one. Now mama can sit down on the couch and
open the bottle of wine.
Really just perfect. You know, every time I see a Young Buck, then I just like remember, like, God, I wish I were seeing the Young Bucks every week. Why am I not seeing the Young Bucks every week?
When he was backstage with his hair up, his hair was in a scrunchie that was studded with pearls, along with the pearl dangly earrings. And I would say, like, the pearls that he has around his neck now are like the first time a sorority girl goes to Mardi Gras sort of situation. Yes.
Like, it was incredible.
Like, how is he walking under the weight?
Okay, let me hit you with this. You know, I've powerfully quit TikTok and Twitter. So I'm not on there anymore, and I can just speak of things I've seen in the past. But in the past,
what do you do now?
I'll talk to you about that later. We can't get into that right now. But in the past, during
it's just that like everyone listening is gonna be like, oh, she's into hardcore porn. She needs, like, she has a sex addiction.
I just have hobbies.
They're just like crafting hobbies. Like, she's about to tell me about some weird crafting hobby that she picked up. It's not like you don't have to be a little scared for her.
Don't be scared.
Okay. Well, anyway.
So you powerfully quit Twitter and TikTok.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, I'm in my memory, my mind, I'm peering in the window of the mind house, remembering things I've seen there before. You know, during Rush, when there would be like the sorority girls would do the videos where they would be dressed up for a Rush event, and then they would be like coming up to the camera and being like, skirt is from J. Crew, like blah, 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 like a little fit check.
Yeah.
I've got to see Matt Jackson doing fit checks with the pearls, especially to be like, pearl scrunchie, Amazon.com, like, enormous pearl necklace, Claire's at the mall.
He's got to be hitting Claire's hard, right? I mean,
I have to imagine. I haven't been in a Claire's in so long that I'm like, of course not, because we're still women. But Yeah, if we were adult male wrestlers, it'd be a totally different story.
Totally different story, yeah.
I gotta know the deets. I gotta know where they're all coming from. But my God, the man has an eye for an accessory. And we also got, Leah, you want to explain this thingy, what's it, they're posting on the Instagrams?
Oh, so Hangman, and you could tell that he was happy on this goof because he did something he never does, which he reposted his own wife's Instagram story of him holding a Nick doll at a Target. Yeah. And that his wife's caption was, "He's going to leave me for you." And then Nick reposted that. And then the next day posted a picture of him at Target holding a Hangman doll. Oh. And it was very, very cute. And then Matt posted a picture of Matt at Target looking at himself, looking at his own doll. And that's my
classic
baby.
The Elite are the most perfect faction in the universe of wrestling, of professional wrestling. They're perfect.
And can I say, in Hangman, and not in Hangman's, in Nick's like doll posting, his eyes looked so beautiful, and he had such a sweetie boy face. I go in and out on Nick. Sometimes I just think he's the best, but like not necessarily like
the handsomest boy.
But like in that picture, I was like, "You're so cute." Is anyone saying this?
That's, and he did look very cute. But that's also what I said about Hangman in those big old glasses of his. Yeah. I said,
"Hangman looked
pony
very
up,
cute.
Cowboy." And Matt, you look cute too, cowboy. Looking at yourself. Listen, I don't know. I was just overcome.
That's from her hardcore porn addiction.
That's where she's learning it.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the kink.com castle? They're always saying that.
Pony up, cowboy.
Well, speaking of my porn addiction, addiction. Speaking of my porn addiction, Chris Jericho, King of New York.
The most perfect segment ever put to film.
I can't believe I'm going to fuck Chris Jericho. You don't have to. No, I'm gonna. I'm gonna. Look at this picture. Look at this picture of this man.
It's incredible. The tomboy look when he was wearing this baseball cap. Incredible.
Okay, Christy Thomas.
Oh, I didn't even notice until just now that it says Jericho on the on the baseball cap. Of course it does.
This is a still from Chris Jericho's promo, little pre-tape on Dynamite, where he was just cruising New York and just talking about the thrills of the city, and he's the king of it, and Matt Cardona, you'll never be the king while Chris Jericho's the king. He's going skating. He's glad-handed the people. He said, from the lowliest of subjects, the ubiquitous rats. Chris Jericho, they will never make me hate you. They could never make me
never.
Hate you.
King of King.
Comedy King, King of Reinvention. And for this invention to just be really cute freak, New York freak. All right. Okay. Your mind is so powerful.
It's incredible. Incredible.
Anything else you want to say about Chris Jericho?
No.
I just love him.
Just love him. I don't like, this is one of those things where I'm like, I should be mad because I didn't really like Matt Cardona, but I'm just like, you can let Chris Jericho do whatever he wants.
Whatever he wants. And he's really getting people. I mean, everybody is saying Chris Jericho's looking so cute, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we got Emmy.
Yeah.
That's kind of his Christmas present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. No one's talking about his sunken boobs or anything. They're just saying he looks so cute.
It's his Christmas present. You're my Christmas present this year, Chris Jericho.
He's saying that to himself in the mirror. Wearing his little baseball cap. You're my Christmas present this year. Okay. And then finally, MJF had an in-ring promo on Dynamite. It was only 7 minutes long, and it was totally fucking fine.
Totally
Can
fine.
Can I get a little round of applause for MJF?
Incredible. Good for him. To make a perfectly unobjectionable promo? Incredible.
We had some laughs.
I would say by the end of it, it was verging on, I said, I had a nice time. I enjoyed that interlude. It was a mere 7 minutes. Now, what he did, he kind of vamped at the crowd for a while. He had an excited energy, like, you know, he'd been missing that live crowd reaction. So then he sang for them a little. That immediately, I suddenly thought, like, God, yeah, I do sometimes like you. I love that you are a theater boy and you love singing for a crowd and you can't stop yourself from doing it. So I thought that was great. And then he had a little bit where he was being Sarah McLachlan, asking people to donate a little bit of money this holiday season to help feed poor starving Adam Cole because he has a teeny tiny little body. And, well, we can unpack it a little. I mean, it's complicated. On the one hand, the men of the IWC specifically have such a troubling relationship to Adam Cole's body.
Something about Adam Cole's body in particular really is triggering to many men.
Yeah. It is. I don't understand what it is, because his body is quite normal. All bodies are normal. But I don't understand what
Brian
it is.
Cage.
Brian right. Cage. Obviously. Whom we love. let me say, all bodies are normal or loved.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, all bodies are normal or loved. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that.
So I don't know what it is. Oh, go ahead, Leah.
Yeah, no. When they put up the Photoshop, I laughed, but then I did have the instinctive reaction of like, but the men, the IWC men shouldn't get to laugh. Like, this is for me because I have a normal relationship to Adam Cole's body, so I can laugh at MJF's like jokes about it. But like, if you've said any of these words in seriousness on Elon Musk's X.com, you can't laugh at that joke. You actually just have to feel shame.
I agree. Like, you need to go to therapy. Like, that's something you need to work through, because it's probably about the relationship you have with your own body, really. And we all, listen, we all have relationships with our body that we have to work through, but maybe just actually do work through, you know? So in that sense, should we be feeding the collective mania about Adam Cole's body? No. But in the sense of it being actually quite funny to do that Sarah McLachlan bit with the music and to say, like, can you help if you want to help that small baby? That was quite funny. So I did come out kind of on the side of like, well, you know, it worked on me. I don't think that men who are bad should enjoy it. But at the same time, was it funny? Yes. So,
yeah.
And so that's good. And then Adam Cole had a, and that's good. Adam Cole had a pre-tape then where he was like, now it is me on the pre-tape in the screen. And do you look at me? And I wonder if I'm beating you up yet, Max. And Max stood there like, what on earth could that mean?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean by that? And it was like, I would call it just a real reminder that everyone in wrestling is the stupidest person alive.
Well, it cracked me up because ONR this week had a long rant where both James and Rich were saying is like, the thing that wrestling needs is more stupid people. I'm tired of seeing heels with a dark vengeance. Like, I want to see heels that are fucking stupid. And you're like, that guy's so stupid. And then MJF's like, hey.
Did you forget about me?
Rich.
And it was quite stupid because it's like, oh, babe, you've been in this exact position a million times before.
And you've done it to other people.
You've been the man on the screen saying, I wonder if I'm beating you up yet. And but he stood there like a champ and said, what could that mean? I have no fucking idea, until Adam Cole showed up behind him and then tried to hit him and tried to get him with his Panama Sunrise or whatever it's called. And MJF skedaddled from the ring. And I thought, this could have been so much worse. It was totally fine to good.
It really is like, you know, when you cut your promo time in half, look how much better you can make it, you know?
Yeah.
7 minutes. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Your harshest critics have become your mildest proponents.
It's also funny that we're even having this segment, because if it was anyone else, we would have forgotten to even mention it. But they've been so annoying for so long that we're like, and we have to give them a round of applause because they were just fine.
Yeah, their most improved award. It was a totally, the highest compliment I can give them. It was a totally normal wrestling segment.
Yeah. And we didn't have to see normal Kyle. I don't know where he is, but I hope he's getting re-weirdified. I hope they have him in the re-weirdification chamber and they are cooking up something crazy for the new year as we speak, because I really can't be, I can't be seeing that repulsive normal man again, where my boy should be. I can't have that changeling back.
Yeah.
No.
Although now that I think of him as a changeling, that then that interests me immediately. Yeah. And I think, wait a second.
On the other hand, maybe it'd be interesting if he was a changeling. And that could happen.
He's a changeling. That's why he acts so normal.
And then on Collision tomorrow, he's going to be a changeling.
Yes, yes, yes. There's nothing we can't talk ourselves into, girls.
I would love it if he gave one of his very normal, regular, you know, boyfriend promos. And then, like, it was one of those things where it's like, Brandon, have you stopped filming? Do you think they bought it?
Yes.
Delightful.
Or it's like, even just like, well, you know, none of them can really act this well, but it's, if it stopped filming and then his face immediately just went kind of like dark and strange and his big seal eyes got even bigger. And maybe they do this with CGI. They just do it in post. And and it's like Galadriel and the darkness comes across.
It's honestly like, that is the only reason, really, that we got to the cannibal Kyle places, because he came in with those dark bags under his eyes looking so weird and haunted, and it was just all... Yeah.
And he kept looking into the distance, and you'd be like, is anyone in there? What's happening?
Wow, what basically, it was like people like Renee were being like, Kyle, what's happening? Are you seeing the horrors? And he would just be like, and just leave.
Yeah.
Kyle, what do you see out there?
A little of that energy.
And then Mark Briscoe made him a person again, and then Kyle just left.
We celebrated it, and it's not that I don't celebrate it, but at the same time, I'm... Now that I have all this anger in me with nowhere to go because he's normal and he just catches fish and shows them on Hinge or whatever, I'm angry at Mark Briscoe now. And I say, why did you heal him? That was my perfect broken boy. Why did you heal his heart?
Too much healing going on at this company right now.
I hate it. The Death Riders are not doing their job if they're not breaking people emotionally. But in fact, as we realized last week, Mox is there with a gun being like, you just be fine and want to do violence. Your brain is healed, but your body will be broken. Something like that. Okay. Well, was there anything you want to talk about tonight that I didn't give you a chance to?
Do you think it's crazy that Deanna Purrazzo wore a Taylor Swift-inspired gear outfit?
Oh. I loved it for her, but it looked crazy.
It looked crazy.
It looked crazy, but then also somehow the thing that was craziest to me was that in that description, she said, like, as a recent Swiftie or something. I don't know why that just, like, kind of broke my brain. I was like, what Swiftie. Do you mean? A recent
you got into her,
like, this year?
You got into her because of Tortured Poet Society? That's the one that broke you?
I guess
right.
It must have been, like, the Eras tour, but, like, I don't know. I'm going through something now where I just, like, then when I see people, I can't get into it. But anyway, I was just like, that's crazy. That's what's happening over there. But I guess it's normal. Like, you find things when you find them, I guess.
You do, but it is very funny to think of someone being like, well, this Eras tour, I keep hearing about it. It must be a big deal. Should I check out this, what's her name, Taylor Swift? You know, maybe
I think it is. I am just kind of like, how could you, like, if you were susceptible to Taylor Swift, you should have known that every day for the past 10 years, which I say, it's like, I would never call myself a Swiftie, but I'm like, of course I've known basically my entire life that I'm susceptible to what Taylor Swift is doing. Yeah. And of course I listen to her songs when I need them emotionally. Like,
yeah.
And it's how could you have missed that? How could you not have known?
And it'd be one thing for, like, Mark Briscoe. If he was a recent Swiftie, I'd be like, sure. But Deanna Purrazzo is a woman around our age, so it's like...
Deanna, you're the demo. You are the demo.
Like, what have you been doing? You been listening to Led Zeppelin?
Hey, they're actually a pretty good band. They actually have a couple of really good songs.
Can we get Alex Scoops Marmas to get in on that? Kind of figure that out.
Scoops, we got a scoop for you. Find it out.
I know. Figure out there. When exactly Deanna became a Swiftie and what happened.
And what
how?
Did she hear? What triggered it?
What did she hear?
And what does she mean by it, I guess, also? I'd That's be like, what was her question. Relationship to Taylor Swift before? Mm. And what? How has becoming a Swiftie changed it? Hey, let's get an interview on the books.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
My God, it's Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Krorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find our merch, including our brand new Our Pumps for Us t-shirts Woo-hoo. And other accoutrements on chop-tees.com. You can listen to this podcast on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can also find a lot of other great podcasts. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. And other things that I usually say are that you can something that I've lost. You can do something that I can't find.
I think you said it all, actually.
Yeah,
please rate,
stay frosty.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Please, God, stay frosty. And as always, come back next week.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.